WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome in to a new day here on the program. A very foggy morning out there for you. So if you are just getting ready to leave the house, keep in mind that it's pretty thick out there. Now, it's not cold. It's cool, 57 degrees, but it's definitely foggy. I was driving down 240 and couldn't see too far ahead of me. So that was, just watching this car pull in, and their headlight was off and then blinked on and then blinked off and then blinked on when their blinker was going. I think you might have a wiring issue there. Anyway, I'm easily distracted. So the fog is very thick, so be careful if you're heading out there, but it should burn off relatively quickly. So we have a lot that we can discuss at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We also have our new contest posted on the WBSM app where you can win flex tickets to Seekonk Speedway. And it explains in the post at WBSM.com on the app what that means. But basically, it's for certain events, not for everything. So you can read what's covered and what isn't. But still, it's fun to go to Seekonk Speedway and even more fun to go for free. So you can enter online for that, and that is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. But yesterday we had a very, and by the way, I should remind you, Thursday is the very first day of our Money Talks contest. So we are going to be giving away $1,000 every day, except for two Thursdays in October, we're going to be giving away $10,000 each of those days. So if you've played Money Talks before, you know it's pretty simple. You're already listening to WBSM, so you just get the codes every hour between 8 and 5, and then you enter those codes at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app, and each code is an entry to try to win $1,000. Except for $10,000 Thursdays, and then you're trying to win 10 grand. So that'll be coming up starting on Thursday. We'll have some more information for you on that later on. But as I was saying yesterday, we had a very interesting discussion with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo as he talked with us about the council's decision to go forward with this legal action against the Mitchell administration. And this sounds like, and I've said this before, but this sounds like you've got two, and I'm not just going to say two people. Mayor John Mitchell's an attorney. Shane Burgo is not. But it's not just about the way that Mayor Mitchell is reading the city code, the ordinance, the charter, state law, all of that. It's not just about how Mayor Mitchell is interpreting it, and it's not just about how Council President Burgo is interpreting it. Because as I've pointed out before, Mayor Mitchell came in here with Chris when he was describing the hiring process for a new police chief and mentioned that he would go before whoever they selected. I shouldn't say he, but the candidate would go before the city council for confirmation. He said that as part of the process when he was on with Chris. So he probably was thinking that was part of it, even then, which is interesting because he's appointed two other chiefs in his time. Two?
Three.
Two.
Anyway, so this doesn't come from Mayor Mitchell or Council President Burgo. This comes from the attorneys for each side. Well, the city solicitor, who's the attorney for the city, and David Gawrotowski, who is the attorney for the city council and helps them with all of their legal definitions and what they can do by ordinance and all of that. So he looked at it and said, I don't see it the same way that Solicitor Jake sees it. And that's why they're pushing forward with this. And does it matter? On the surface, it doesn't, because there's not going to change who the police chief is. It's going to be Jason Thodey, whether the council, you know, whether the court rules in favor of the council or not. But it's not about that. And as Council President Burgo pointed out, it's not about the person at all. It was about the process. And so this is about putting that safeguard in place. And I don't say that in a way that, you know, Mayor Mitchell will be doing something wrong, but that check and balance in place on the administration. That's the way that he is portraying this. The mayor sees this as an unnecessary step in something that the council doesn't have a role in. But what does it mean if the court comes back and says, we agree that Mayor Mitchell is the department head of the police department and therefore does not have to send a candidate for police chief before the council for confirmation because he can unilaterally pick that person? I mean, I don't think in the end it matters much at all in terms of that particular position. But I do think that it could have a precedent for other things as well. That if it isn't clearly stated in the charter who handles what, then it becomes, well, then in this particular case, the mayor can do whatever they want. And, you know, not necessarily John Mitchell, but any mayor. So the need for a clarification on some of this, I guess, would be understandable if you've got two different lawyers who are seeing this from two different perspectives. And I don't think this is a matter either of saying to the lawyer for either, in either side of the argument here, find a way to make it sound like it's this. This is the way that they're interpreting it. So, yes, I do think that there's a need for clarification, and I do think that this could get pretty interesting. Now, you did hear Council President Burgo say that whatever this decision to table some of the mayor's business within the council, it's not going to be an ongoing thing. That it was more of a symbolic gesture. That they're not looking to create a stalemate on certain things, and that they're just trying to say, hey, if you're going to flex your muscle, we can flex ours. The problem with that is I don't think that Mayor Mitchell cares. He can address it when he's in with Chris, but I don't think he's going to take it the way that the council might think that he's going to take it. I think he's going to just say, well, he's going to use that as fodder against them to say, look at what they're doing. You know, they want me to send the police chief for them for confirmation, and these are the kind of games they pull. And that argument made in September of an election year in which there is a preliminary election in October, I think would have councilors pretty concerned. Because as you know, it's only a small portion of New Bedford voters, registered voters, would actually go out and vote, and many of them are paying attention. Many of them are listening to the station. Many of them are reading our website, reading New Bedford Light, reading the Standard Times. And so if they see this brought up as an issue, and they see this brought up as something that the mayor is going to, for lack of a better term, he's not on the ballot, but campaign on, in terms of saying, like, look at this, look at what the council's doing. Look at the antics here. If that's the way he tries to frame it, and people start to hear that, well, if you think, you know, and by definition it is, that it's a weak council and a strong mayor, how weak do you think that council would be if a bunch of incumbents got voted out? Especially if those newcomers feel like in some way the mayor helped get them elected. And you might not like John Mitchell. I know many of you who listen to the station complain about him in the way that he does things. But if he decided to go around and start endorsing candidates, that would have a strong effect. So I think there's more at stake here than just holding up a few items on the agenda each meeting. And I think Council President Burgo understands that. And I think that's why he was being kind of dismissive of the idea of this being an ongoing thing. I think it was a statement to be made. Statement was made. Now they can kind of move on from it. But I don't know, because that's him saying that. That's not Councillor Morad, who is the one who initiated it, saying that. So she might feel stronger about it, and she might certainly could get a number of councillors on her side about it. So it'll be very interesting to see where this goes. I don't know how long this legal process will take. I mean, this doesn't sound, I mean, I'm not a legal scholar, legal expert. I don't know anything. But on the surface, I would think that this is a case that a very particular arbiter would take on, whether it be a judge, a magistrate, whoever they put it before. But this would be a very particular person who understands municipal law. And that person probably doesn't have a whole lot of other stuff on their plate. So you could get it in a relatively quick amount of time, but I don't know. I'm just talking based on stories that I've covered. It could be something that drags out. And that's why I asked Council President Burgo, you know, if this takes a while, are you still going to put Chief Thody through that confirmation? Or are you just going to say, okay, we got the answer we wanted, if it goes in your favor, and we'll just save this for the next time? And he said, no, if it takes a year, they're still going to have him go through the process. So now that might change depending on how long it takes and how the council feels at that point in time, but it'll still be something to keep an eye on. Because at that point, you know, is that a fair thing to do to the chief? If he's already been on the job for a year, and they say, okay, now we need you to come and go through this confirmation process, I think that's kind of a little bit of a slap in the face. And I know that the council would feel like, no, it's just a formality at that point. But I still think it feels weird. It's like if you've been at your job for, you know, a year, and then somebody says, okay, we need you to come in for an interview. Interview for what? Already been working the job for a year. Yeah, but we didn't do it as part of your hiring process. We gotta have the interview in your personnel file. So can you just come in for an interview and, you know, sit down with all the higher ups and kind of explain to us what you want to do with the job that you've already been doing for a year? I mean, wouldn't that feel pretty awkward? Anyway, 508-996-0500. app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We have to take our first break of the morning. We'll be back in a few moments. We go into the newsroom, but we've got a call on the line, so rather than make them wait, I'll just take that real quick. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Thank you, Spooky. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you. What's on your mind?
As far as this thing that's going on with whether you're going to appoint them and whether you're going to confirm them and all that sort of stuff, you know, to me, maybe Chief Thody will say, what have I done by coming here? Maybe I'll see if there's a job in Falmouth I can apply for, like the last chief, and be out of here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the, you know, the writing on the wall for how it's going to go for him.
Well, yeah, and I don't think he's a bad guy or anything, but I think basically he's come from Connecticut to look for another pension in Massachusetts. That's what he's looking for. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure he can do the job and everything, but that's the whole thing as far as I'm concerned. So if he can find another job in Massachusetts, that doesn't give him as much of a headache about whether he's appointed or not. Hey, maybe that's what he'll do, and he'll get his double pensions later on in his life if he spends his time in there. So,
well, do you feel like the council should have a role in the police chief's hiring?
Oh, absolutely. And hey, you know, like Bill Belichick used to say, look, just do your job. Hey, Mayor, send the guy's name down there so it'll be confirmed, because they don't really have anything against the guy. The guy hasn't done anything wrong. And stop wasting money on this. You know, it's a waste of time. You know, so just again, as Belichick would say, just do your job, both of you, you know.
Sure.
All right, Spook.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, my friend. Take care.
You too. And that does make me think about, and I was thinking about this as Council President Berger was here yesterday talking about it too, is because he mentioned, and we've talked about this before, and we can pick this up after the news, but the idea that, you know, Scott Lang knew that he didn't have to send the police chief for confirmation, but he did anyway, as a sign of respect, as a gesture of goodwill for letting them play a role. Like, he knew he didn't have to, but he did it anyway. Why wouldn't Mayor Mitchell just do that? Why wouldn't he say, hey, City Council, this is my person, this is my guy, this is my chief. And I'm going to send them to you for confirmation, just for formality's sake. But, you know, just know that if you decide not to confirm him, too bad, he's still got the job. Unless you're going to say, I mean, this is a question for the mayor, I guess, tomorrow when he's in with Chris. But maybe he just says, because I don't want to waste the guy's time. I want him to get right to work. Not spend time sitting in the city council chambers for something that is unnecessary. But if that's not the answer, then what is? Anyway, we got to go to the news with Mike. When we come back on the other side of that, we can talk with you. 508-996-0500. Take it away, Mike Roberts.
President Trump sending troops to Tennessee, another U.S. strike against a drug-running ship from Venezuela, and CDC workers return to the office.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump believes the man accused of murdering Charlie Kirk was radicalized online by the left.
But, you know, he went bad, and he just went bad very quickly, in a sense, because he sort of led a very normal life.
While speaking from the Oval Office, Trump said it appears Tyler Robinson had wonderful parents and was a smart guy, but something bad happened to him quickly. Kirk was a close friend of the Trump family. The president has credited Kirk for his gains in the youth vote in the 2024 election. Another U.S. strike against a suspected drug runner from Venezuela being confirmed by President Trump. He posted on Truth Social, U.S. military forces conducted a second strike against a positively identified extraordinarily violent drug trafficking cartel from Venezuela in international waters. He added the strike resulted in three male terrorists being killed in action. No U.S. forces were harmed in the strike. The president is sending the National Guard into Memphis to help combat crime there. Yesterday, from the Oval Office, Trump said it will be exactly like the recent operation in Washington, D.C.
We're not going to allow this kind of savagery to destroy our society anymore. We're stopping it.
He said the Guard will be joined by agents from the FBI and other federal officers. Tennessee Republican Governor Bill Lee was in attendance at the White House to back the plan. The president again said that he's thinking about establishing a similar operation in Chicago. The daughter of former FBI Director James Comey is suing the Trump administration over her firing. Maureen Comey claims that her ousting as a federal prosecutor was done in retaliation for being her father's daughter. James Comey has been a frequent critic of Trump and was investigated in May by the FBI for an Instagram post that some say was a threat to the president's life. CDC employees are returning to the office for the first time since a shooting at the agency. Health and Human Services advised the workers to return to the Atlanta-based office yesterday. Everyone was sent home after a gunman fired hundreds of bullets into the campus and killed a police officer in August. President Trump proposing companies reduce the frequency they report their finances to the public. Trump says reporting on a semi-annual basis would save money and allow managers to focus on properly running their companies. Companies currently provide that report on a quarterly basis, and the president noted in his post that the switch is subject to approval. Supporters of the current system say it provides investors with timely opportunity as well as transparency about public companies. If you're looking for a happy place, you'll likely find it in Hawaii. Wallet Hub compared all 50 states to determine which was the happiest based on more than two dozen key metrics, including income growth, unemployment, and depression rates. Hawaii was ranked the happiest state, followed by Maryland, Nebraska, New Jersey, and Connecticut. On the opposite end of the list, West Virginia came in last. A health expert is weighing in on allergies and cold symptoms. Cleveland Clinic allergist Dr. Sandra Hong goes through what people experience this time of year with allergies.
Very frequently, it's ragweed. Most people with allergies are allergic to ragweed, but then there are multiple other types of weeds out there. There's also lots of molds.
Dr. Hong says the allergies will happen every year and are chronic while colds resolve on their own. She said an allergist can come up with a treatment plan. A fever, sore throat, and a wet cough are more common with a cold, which typically lasts 1 to 2 weeks and can make you feel achy.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox host the Athletics tonight at 6:45.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We have some clouds, chance of fog throughout the morning, partial sun this afternoon, temperatures get up to the low 70s, mostly cloudy, comfortable tonight, low in the 50s. Some sunshine for tomorrow, 70, partly to mostly sunny on Thursday, 72, and warming up to 77 on Friday with more clouds than sun. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And that song used to sound so good on my Trans Am sound system in my Trans Am. my stereo. Those Trans Ams had those AC Delcos. Perfect. And that every single time I say I'm not going to play those billion-dollar lottery jackpots, I'm like, no, I'm not. It's just wasting $3. I'm not going to win. I still get sucked into it anyway with the dream of owning another one of those things. And I look at them every single day on Facebook Marketplace. So if I ever do win the Powerball or the Mega Millions, you know, there'll be signs, and that sign would be me pulling up in a 1980s F-Body Trans Am. Probably with that song blasting out of the T-tops. So anyway, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And there was another story that I wanted to get to yesterday, and I didn't get to it because we were talking about a bunch of other things, and we had Manny the Money Man Resendiz in for Money Monday, and he got stuck in traffic. And that kind of threw off the timing a little bit. And then, of course, we have Council President Burgos' regular Monday segment. And by the way, if you missed out on that little tidbit of news we had at the end of the segment yesterday, on September 29th, I am going to be taking that first flight from New Bedford to Boston and then coming back on the first flight from Boston to New Bedford. So we're going to be doing that as part of, you know, the broadcast that we're doing there that day. We're going to be at the airport. I'm going to be there the whole show. Chris McCarthy's going to be there for his whole show. And we're going to be welcoming the people that are coming to utilize the New Bedford to Boston route on Cape Air. But while we're doing that, that first flight's going to be taking off at 8:15, and I'm going to be on that. And so I was going to put together some recorded segments to air during the 8 o'clock hour. I was going to put in, you know, some, I was going to see if Council President Burgo wanted to come in and record the conversation maybe on Friday after he gets out of work or something, and then I could plug that in. But then I thought, you know what? He's really good at taking the calls from the callers. I think he does a great job of going back and forth with the callers. And I said, I bet you he could actually host the show. He's certainly got the personality for it. He's a performer, you know, as a singer. So he knows how to entertain people. I think he certainly is intelligent enough how much intelligence does it take to do this job? They let me do it, so it can't be too much. But he's certainly got the chops to be able to carry a conversation for an hour, even if nobody does call in. And he will have plenty to discuss. So I said, you know, let me ask him if he wants to do it. And so I did. And I said to him, you know, off the air during a break, I said, you know, do you want to do it? And he thought about it. And he kind of got this look on his face like, I don't know that I could. And I was like, don't worry about it. We're going to have a producer with you. All you have to do is just listen to him, because he's going to tell you when you need to take a break. He's going to tell you when you have a caller. And then, you know, you just got to talk. And he said, you know what, I think I would like to do it. So he is going to host that hour on the 29th. So again, that'll be at the airport. He'll still be able to take your phone calls, and you'll be able to talk to him just without me in the way. So I told him, I said, it's really just the same thing that you already do on a Monday, except I'm not going to be asking the questions to kind of tee up your answers, to kind of tee up the talking points, which is really all that I try to do in that conversation, is let's look at the important things that are going on, and then I just pitch it to him so that he can talk about it. So that's why, you know, you can do the same thing for me. You can be the one to call in and ask those questions that normally I would ask. I always look at my job as being the person to, I call myself the avatar for the audience. I'm asking the questions that the audience would like to ask. That's why when other hosts will not get calls during an interview, they'll say, oh man, like this interview must have been a dud. I didn't get any calls. Nobody called in to ask any questions of my guest. And I used to feel the same way as well. And I was talking to somebody about it one time, and they said, well, maybe you just asked the questions that they were going to ask. I was like, well, that's a different way of looking at it. I hope that's the case. So you can be the questioner on that day. You can be the interviewer on that day. And I'm glad that he's going to give it a try because I think he'll be very good at it. And also, it'll be fun and exciting for you, the listener. I'll be up in an airplane. I'll have no idea what's going on. We have to have our phones off because I was hoping that, you know, maybe there was a way I could broadcast from up there, but it's not going to work out. So instead, what I'll do is I will record video and audio, and then when we land, I'll post it and I'll call in. So it's a 35-minute flight that leaves at 8:15. As long as I get the clearance when we land to call in, I will. If not, I'll call into Chris's show right after. And then in the afternoon, you know, I can probably, when I get back here, I can probably pop in with Barry. If I'm back in time, I should be. But now that I've been on the train broadcasting, and this will be, you know, kind of a plane broadcast because I will get content while I'm up there. What's left? I guess automobiles, right? Planes, trains, automobiles, right? Well, we got some ideas for some other interesting things. And that's what I love about the technology that we have here is that we can bring the show anywhere. As long as there's internet, we can do the show from anywhere. And if there isn't internet, we can just record it. So it should be a fun day on the 29th, welcoming in the new Cape Air, New Bedford to Boston, and Boston to New Bedford service. And hopefully you'll come down to the airport and hang out with us and come on the shows and talk. As I said, we always bring an extra microphone so that you can come and sit down with us. And it's like being a caller, except you're right there, face to face. Just do me a favor. Don't do that during the council president's segment. Don't come in and unless he invites you personally, don't come in and try to do that one face. He's going to have enough going on that we don't want to make it any extra, any more difficult for him. So, you know, during my show, the first 2 hours, during Chris's show, you're more than welcome. But during that 8 o'clock hour, let's just stick to the phones. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to share that story that I didn't get to yesterday. It involves sharks. We'll be right back. I was trying to think of who the other young guitar playing person was that came out around the same time as Kenny Wayne Shepherd. And so I typed into to Google, who was the other kid that wasn't Kenny Wayne Shepherd? And thanks to the AI, it came back and said, the, quote, other kid you might be thinking of who was a notable blues guitarist during the same period as Kenny Wayne Shepherd is Johnny Lang. I was like, yes, that is Johnny Lang. That's who I was thinking of. And I saw them both in concert. Johnny Lang I saw with Aerosmith. He was great. And Kenny Wayne Shepherd I saw with Dickie Betts of the Allman Brothers. And I remember I went to that show with my parents. My dad's a huge Allman Brothers fan. And I said, well, don't worry if we're running a little bit behind. Kenny Wayne Shepherd is going to play first. And, you know, then when we get there, we'll plenty of time to see Dickie Betts. So we were running behind. I forget. Somebody was coming out of work, whatever it was. And so when we got there, we hear Ramblin' Man playing. We're like, well, it's pretty bold of Kenny Wayne Shepherd to play a song that Dickie Betts is going to play later. And turns out Kenny Wayne Shepherd was the headliner and Dickie Betts was the opener. Never would have thought that would have been the case. And then we had really good seats. We were like fifth or sixth row from the stage. And that band had been on tour for a while. You could tell it had been a while since they'd showered. We could smell it all. Anyway, so as I mentioned, there is a story regarding sharks that I wanted to bring to your attention. And WCVB has been reporting on this for a couple of days now. So in Plymouth, There were two beaches that were actually closed down because there was a confirmed shark and seal interaction off Manomet Point. So that meant that Whitehorse Beach and Longhorse Beach, Whitehorse Beach and Long Beach were closed to swimming when a seal was spotted with a large wound on a rock near Plymouth. And by the bite that was on the seal, shark experts predicted that the shark was likely 12 feet long. So they red flagged it and they said nobody can swim on these beaches over the weekend. And then on Monday, they reopened the beaches, but with a yellow flag warning beachgoers to remain cautious. So if that's, you know, an area that you go swimming, I would keep in mind that that's a yellow flag area. It's also the same place where two kayakers were attacked by a shark in 2014. And it also, yesterday also marked the 7th anniversary of Massachusetts' most recent fatal shark attack, during which a 26-year-old man boogie boarding off the coast of Wellfleet was killed. And we are in peak shark season here in Massachusetts. It actually goes through October. So you might be thinking, well, it's a good time to get out there and go to the beach because there'll be less people around. Now that school's back in session, just be aware, it is still shark time. All right, one more break in this hour. We'll be right back. And that was the other one. That was Johnny Lang. All right, we're going to be going into the newsroom. We're going to get the ABC News, all the national headlines on your South Coast stories with Mike Roberts in the WBSM newsroom. Then on the other side, we can talk about it.